From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska seafood industry has historically relied on workers from beyond the state's borders. And for processors in the pollock industry, the nation's largest fishery, that has included a foreign workforce to help fill employment gaps in the past. But as KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, recent changes in the seafood industry and federal immigration policies have some processors looking closer to home to fill those jobs.
It's safe to say that in Alaska, the fish far outnumber the people. Last year, fishermen harvested over 1 million metric tons of pollock in the state. That's a lot of fish, and it's just one sector of Alaska's seafood industry. Brian Gannon is the vice president of Global Partnerships for LaborMex, a company that helps match foreign workers with businesses across the U.S. He says when it comes to handling and packaging all that fish, especially cod and pollock, Alaska really has no local workforce.
For 100 years, people have been coming from somewhere else to process fish in Alaska.
Processing fish involves long hours and often tough, repetitive, and pungent work. There's an entire area of plants often referred to as the slime line, after all, so it can be tough to fill those jobs. Gannon, who started his career at a processing plant in Chignik in 1990, says despite the lackluster appeal of processing work, Alaska has done a good job attracting seasonal workers from afar.
Alaska is really a poster child for foreign labor in as much as the oil industry and forestry and mineral extraction and seafood production, et cetera, in Alaska for 150 years. It's been built on a small amount of available local labor and a large amount of labor coming from somewhere else.
The Alaska pollock industry directly employed over 8,000 workers in 2023, according to a report from Northern Economics. Most were workers from the U.S., and about 12% were residents of other countries. Gannon says about 10 years ago, the pollock industry's domestic workforce sort of ran dry. He says the industry's pool of workers that would come to the Aleutians to work part of the year wasn't replenishing, and companies couldn't match the shortfalls.
And that's where that H-2B visa came in quite handy.
The H-2B visa program allows employers to bring foreign workers to the U.S. to fill temporary non-agricultural jobs during shortages. And for a while, those visas, while complicated to obtain, worked well. But Gannon says over the past several years, a lot has changed in the pollock industry.
So many things have upended the apple cart, and the pollock processors are not necessarily producing as much.
Gannon says things like the COVID-19 pandemic, the war in Ukraine, changes in the nation's political dynamics, and competition from Russia and China have made it hard for pollock processors to make ends meet. The seafood industry in general has seen increases in processing costs, wages, energy prices, as well as drops in sale prices for every major species group in 2023. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Tom Enlow is the president and CEO of Unisea Seafoods, on Alaska's largest seafood processor. He says the company is feeling those pressures, and as a result, they're moving away from the H-2B visas to save money on an unreliable system.
The H-2B program, I think, was good for Alaska at a time when we really needed them, you know, during the pandemic and a little bit pre-pandemic. But really, it's cost prohibitive to bring workers all the way from Eastern Europe to Alaska.
Enlow says the processing plant moved back to a 100% domestic workforce. He says the main reason for that is cost. He says the Trump administration's approach to hiring foreign workers has also made a difficult and expensive process even more complicated.
You don't know for sure if you're going to get a supplemental visa, if it's going to get approved in time, or if they're going to be in Alaska when you need them as the season started.
Enlow says Unisea started participating in the H-2B program in 2019. Prior to that, the company employed 100% U.S. domestic workers, he says. Unicy isn't the only regional processor filling jobs with American workers. Trident Seafoods, one of the largest seafood processors in the nation, says it employs almost an exclusively domestic workforce. Enloe says Unicy won't be saving much, if any money, right away by switching back to an American workforce, because he's expecting a high attrition rate.
And so you're going to need to, you know, hire more and bring up more people than you actually would need over time, because you're going to lose some of those workers.
But he says that should eventually be offset by avoiding uncertainties around international travel and immigration concerns. In on Alaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has set a harvest limit for this year's Sitka sacro herring fishery. As reported by KCAW's Catherine Rose, in an announcement in mid-December, Fish and Game said the guideline harvest level, or GHL, would be set at just over 35,000 tons. That's about 15% of the estimated mature herring population. Area management biologist Aaron Dupuis said while the state estimates the herring population decreased by about 6% this year, it's still up from previous years.
So the trajectory is going down a little bit, but it's still quite large. We were forecasting 233,000 tons about of herring to come back this year for the mature biomass. So it's still, like, historically speaking, for our time series, quite high.
He says this year the average weight of the herring will be higher because the bulk of the population are older 6- and 8-year-old fish.
Because of that, the average weight of the fish is quite a bit higher than what we're used to. So it'll come out at about 156 grams, which is on the high side.
Typically, the state allows commercial fishermen to harvest up to 20% of the mature herring population, but last year, the Alaska Board of Fisheries adopted regulations to change that formula, reducing the harvest level range and increasing thresholds to open the fishery. The change was recommended by state biologists, who said new research out of Canada suggested the 20% harvest rate may be too high for herring stocks. At the time, Fish and Game staff told the Board of Fish they wanted to reduce the harvest level as an extra precaution until the state could confirm the Canadian research. Regardless of where the cap is set, commercial fishermen are unlikely to harvest close to that amount due to poor market conditions. Dupuis says he expects the fishery to look similar to last year's, with a limited fleet and fewer than 3 processors participating in 2025. Only about 6,000 tons were caught of the 35,000 available. In its announcement in December, Fish and Game noted some uncertainty in the state's herring population forecast this year. Dupuis says projections from one model the state could have used would have lowered the harvest level by several thousand tons. Because the model's projections were so close to the standard model the state uses, Fish and Game will take observations into account on the ground and take conservative action with the fishery if necessary. But Dupuis says if fishery participation is on the low side, it may not matter.
That's how I look at it as a fishery manager. Like, okay, how much is industry going to take? What's our GHL? What's the difference between the two models? Is that going to impact the fishery? And it likely will not.
Dupuis says they should be finishing up with the final forecast of the season in the next couple of weeks. The commercial herring fishery typically takes place in Sitka in the early spring.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The fishing industry group Alaska Groundfish Data Bank has closed its doors after nearly 40 years of representing trawl catcher vessels and processors in the Gulf of Alaska. As KMXT's Davis Hovey reports, the Kodiak-based organization revolved around one person for most of its lifespan.
Since 1986, the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank has been the central member-based organization in Kodiak, gathering fisheries data from and advocating for policy for the Gulf of Alaska pollock trawl fleet. Julie Bonney joined the data bank as an analyst 5 years after it started.
And I thought it would be a good entry-level position. And if you really know the fishing industry right now, the vast majority of people that are involved have been observers in terms of scientific folks or leads for advocacy groups. Pretty much everyone I can think of was an observer at one point or another.
After being an analyst with the organization for a decade, Bonney took over as the head of the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank in 2001. But after roughly 35 years with the group, Bonney says the data bank has closed its office in downtown Kodiak and is phasing out all of its operations.
Basically, we're spinning off responsibilities and winding down. And so there are a couple things that I will continue in 2026.
She will continue to work out of her home this year to close out some lingering projects, such as a research program with Alaska Pacific University. She's the wife of a longtime seafood processor and says she's always been interested in fisheries data. Bonney has run the cooperatives for the Central Gulf of Alaska Rockfish Program since 2007 and was heavily involved in starting the electronic monitoring program for the Gulf's pollock trawl fleet. That policy went into effect last year. Last fall, the data bank requested that someone else take over those two service contracts. Even though the fishermen and shoreside processor cooperatives will still exist and the electronic monitoring program will continue for trawlers in the Gulf of Alaska, Bonney says there isn't another organization that can solely fill the data bank's role in Kodiak.
Honestly, it's the only organization that includes both processors and harvesters under the same tent.
Bonney says she made the decision last summer to close the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank by the end of 2025 and transition into retirement. But while the data bank was preparing to close, the organization was caught up in an Alaska State Troopers investigation into seafood processors allegedly profiting illegally from salmon and halibut bycatch. According to reporting from the Northern Journal, in November, troopers seized Bonney's work laptop and cell phone, along with all electronics and fisheries data from the Kodiak organization. No charges have since been filed against Bonney or the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank. Bonney says she cannot comment on the investigation as it's still ongoing, but she maintains that she's done nothing wrong.
I'll continue to defend myself, obviously, because I've done nothing wrong, but that's going to take a while to get to the other end.
While the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank phases out of the Kodiak fishing community, local trawl vessels will be heading out in the Gulf of Alaska for the start of the pollock A season after January 20th. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.